The Bearcat Coaches Show.
Good evening and welcome to the final edition of the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show for this current sports season. I'm John Coffey alongside with Matt Quarter as we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. And got a good show on hand for you tonight as we'll be discussing a lot of things, including football. The spring football practice is underway, as well as we'll talk baseball and softball, and also talk with Northwest Missouri State Athletic Director Mel Churchman. So a lot coming up on our program.
Yeah, absolutely. I would feel like by now it would feel more spring than it does. We've only had a couple of spring days, but I guess as long as it's a spring sports season, we can at least have that in the back of our minds.
And our support for KXCV's Bearcat Coaches Show comes from the Student Body with screen printing and embroidery, now located near the Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Student Body provides Bearcat fanwear, custom screen printing, and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation. And support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square, open for lunch or dinner, and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-up. More information at 660-582-2699. When we come back, we'll talk with Athletic Director Northwest Missouri State Mel Churchman. That's coming up as the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show continues after this timeout from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Heinlein Home Furnishings at 1411 South Main in Maryville, supplying living room, dining room, and bedroom furnishings for the home, as well as mattresses and flooring. More information is available at HeinleinHomeFurnishings.com. Support for today's game comes from Farmers Mutual Insurance Company of Nottoway County, insuring homes in town or out and farms in Northwest Missouri since 1891. You can find agent information available at fmnottoway.com. Support for today's game comes from Tri-State Ford and Lincoln at 2017 South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the area a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at tristatefordlincoln.com or at 660-582-3677.
Support for this Bearcat Sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, 582-2699.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Northwest Medical Center in Albany. Northwest Medical Center offers inpatient, outpatient, home health, and emergency services with clinics located in Albany, Stanbury, and Grant City. More at northwestmedicalcenter.org.
Today's game is being underwritten by O'Malley Beverage in St. Joseph, Missouri. O'Malley is the region's supplier of Anheuser-Busch products and would like to remind you to drink responsibly and to always designate a driver. More information at anheuserbusch.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Along with Matt Gorder, I'm John Coffey, and our guest at the top of the show here is Athletic Director at Northwest Missouri State, Mel Churchman. Coach, before we talk about some of the things going on the Northwest campus here, congratulations are in order being inducted into the South Dakota Sports Hall of Fame.
Well, thanks, John. That's it's exciting for me, being a native of South Dakota, and as I explained to some people, there's not a lot of people in South Dakota, so maybe that makes it a little easier. But I knew about it last fall. They called me last fall, and my only regret is I'm going to miss the spring game. It's next Saturday, but really looking forward to it, and opportunity to see some people that I grew up with, and people that kind of shaped my career when I was young.
That's kind of a once-in-a-lifetime thing. You've seen a few spring football games, so, you know,
yeah,
there's probably more to come.
That's true. I'll have to get out. I think Coach Dorrell said they were going to scrimmage a little bit tomorrow, so hopefully I can get out and watch them a little bit then. And, the coaches feel really good about the way things are going, and so the players that I've talked to, so I'm sure they're rolling right along.
That's just another one of the honors that you've been able to accomplish throughout your career.
Well, I've been pretty blessed that way, John. And, you know, it's just those are the things that you don't do by yourself. There's a lot of people involved, and a lot of people help that make that possible. And of course, a lot of people here in Maryville have helped create that for the years that we had here. So I'm very grateful.
It's funny. We talk about teamwork with the teams, obviously, the athletic programs, but it just goes so far beyond that when you talk about the success of anybody individually, but the department as a whole.
Well, it is. Everything's going well, and it's just, you know, we really have a great group of coaches, and they're so supportive of each other. I think that's the thing that that I continue to come back to, is that they care about each other and they support each other, and that's a theme of our teams, and it carries right through with our coaches as well.
And I think a lot of times we might take that for granted here in Maryville, but when you talk to Coach Smith from the women's basketball program, he talks about how special that is here, that you don't see at other universities.
Well, you're definitely right, I think, John. You know, from what I've heard from other people and in other situations, I think we're real. This is a unique situation that our coaches really do work together and care about each other and care about each other's programs. You know, unfortunately, too many times I think they get caught. Coaches get caught up in worrying about themselves and their own program, and you know, they don't care about anybody else. But that's not the way it is here.
So I was wondering about this the other day. Obviously, we're in the middle of spring sports season. Then after spring sports, some downtime over the summer. Planning for upcoming seasons. I mean, obviously it's an ongoing type of thing, but how far in advance, like scheduling games and things like that, are you always working ahead to make sure you do stay ahead of the game for upcoming years?
Well, you know, that's really changed a lot. And, of course, our conference has changed so much on scheduling now. Most of our scheduling's all done, you know. That's Dr. Bob's headache, which in football has been a headache. But yeah. I think we've got that resolved for a little while. But, you know, that used to be the thing. But now, you know, I think, you know, for me personally and for our staff, for the administrative staff, what we do, you know, we're starting to plan now for this fall and for the events, and we're really looking at things we can do to make them more fan friendly than they are right now. And I think we've got great events, but I think we can do more, and we'd like to get we'd really like to work on some things to get our students more involved. I think that's kind of a national trend right now, that students are not coming out to games no matter how good your teams are as much as they used to, and we're going to try and turn that around. We've got some great student organizations on campus that you know, you saw them show up this winter at basketball games and gave us a real lift in basketball, and we want to build on that. So there's a lot of things that we do, but as far as the scheduling, we really don't have to worry much about scheduling. Basketball has to schedule some non-conference games, but the coaches take care of that. So I'm free from all that.
When you talk about the schedule for football, let's just kind of look about at what's coming up with the schedule again, with what's taking place in the MIAA.
Well, you know, we're going to have a great home schedule this year. If you look at the teams that we have playing here, every one of them could be great games, and so I think it's really exciting. You know, we're going to play everybody. I think that's exciting. I like that. I didn't like the fact that it worked out fine last year, but that we didn't play everybody. You know, I'm looking forward to this fall. I think we've got a good thing going right now. I hope we can keep it just where it's at.
And when you talk about scheduling for football, even though in recent years you only had to worry about one, maybe two non-conference games, it really got hard to find that one or two non-conference games.
You're telling me about it. You know, after we started having some success, then people don't return your calls, or, you know, well, you know, I think we've got a game on that date. And then about a month later, you hear that they found somebody else to play. And so that was a frustrating thing. And I was an advocate a long time ago of having 12 teams in a conference, because I knew that I wouldn't have to mess with that scheduling. But, it, you know, and it's kind of, a two-edged sword because it's fun for us as coaches and it's fun for our players to play somebody from outside the conference. But it's just, it's really difficult, you know, to schedule. And so that part of it's a lot easier right now.
The one thing about it, when you were scheduling the non-conference part of the schedule, it seemed like you weren't afraid to go in and schedule some of the other top teams in Division II. And it really never hurt you that much if you came up with a loss there, and sometimes even helped you as far as strength of schedule later on.
No, I think a lot of people didn't think I was a very good scheduler because I always schedule that loss early in the year. You know, I think the last 3 years, I think we lost the first game, the opening game. But, you know, I still believe that a good schedule, a tough opponent, is the best thing for you. And I always felt like in the rankings, a loss early in the year wouldn't hurt you as much as later on in the year. And more than anything else, I think a lot of times you learn more from a loss than you do from a win. So it all worked out for us, and you know, we turned out pretty well.
Speaking of looking ahead, of course, you guys were out and sharing some facility ideas and things like that. How's the feedback been coming back from that since you guys have been getting the word out about what the plan is for the future?
Well, a lot of that, it's been real positive. There's no doubt about that. A lot of, you know, a lot of that's going to happen in probably the next 3 months. The Northwest Foundation is actually meeting. I've got to go to a dinner tonight. They're on campus. They met today and they meet tomorrow. And then they'll have their summer meeting. And at some time, I think maybe at their summer meeting, they'll determine what, you know, what our goal is going to be in a capital campaign and how each of these things that we've talked about is going to fit in into their plans, and that's critical for us. So, you know, a lot going on, but not quite there yet to where we can say this is what we're going to do, but I think we're getting real close.
And when you talk about facilities, the one thing that you're talking about on that little tour was the indoor facility, and I think we've talked some about this, but when you talk about who benefits from that, obviously a lot of talks about what it does for a football program, but we're talking some spring sports a little bit later on, but I think baseball and softball is two programs that can really benefit out of the facility such as
that. Well, without a doubt, baseball, softball, and indoor track would have tremendous benefits from it. And that's, you know, right now, you know, like baseball and softball, they've hardly had any practices outside, and their schedule's over half over with already. And so, you know, when you stop and think about that, that doesn't happen in many sports where you can't even have a real practice and you have half your schedule gone. So I think it would be very beneficial to them. You know, obviously football would get use out of it. I think football would get more use out of it in the off season. Some of the things they do in the spring. Soccer would get use out of it. I think our marching band would get a lot of use out of it in the fall because they really don't have a place to practice. They practice in the parking lot, and you know, that's not the ideal thing either. So I think it would benefit a lot of things, plus the intramurals and all the other things involved.
And not just facilities, but when you talk about a lot of the things that go on, the different events that we've seen around the athletic programs, you bring up the band, and it seems like not just with the band, but there's so much student involvement around athletics, more than just the teams on the field or on the court.
Well, it does involve a lot of people. You know, the Bearcat Marching Band has really come back. I think they struggled a little bit for a few years, and Katie's really brought them along. Katie Strickland's our new band instructor, and she's bringing that program back, and they got really involved. We've got great cheer teams, and you know, our steppers and all that. So there really are a lot of people involved, and you know, what we want to do now is get the students involved as far as being in the stands and supporting them, and I think we can get that done.
One of the things I talked about this a little bit earlier with basketball, but it seemed like it started at a grassroots level during basketball. The Teaks came out, they were having a lot of fun, and then all of a sudden some of the other organizations decided, well, we're going to try to match that, and it really, as the season went along, turned into a heck of an atmosphere at Bearcat Arena.
Well, it really did. I give Nate Davis a lot of credit for that. He really worked at that with our student organizations and promoting that. And we did some promotions to get them there, and so you know, those are the things that we have to do. But yeah, what happens is they end up having a lot of fun. It's a great experience, and of course, watching our basketball team this year was a lot of fun. They were a fun team to watch, and so I think that we you know, in football sometimes I think we hurt ourselves because we've been pretty good, and some of the games aren't real exciting, especially in the second half, and you know, some of the fans kind of think, like, well, they're going to win anyway. But we've got to, we want to get past that, and we want to get them out there and be involved and be a part of the whole athletic experience.
It seems like the games themselves is kind of the base that you want to build off of, because you know you're going to have fun games to watch, but that seems like that's kind of the base of what you're talking about, and everything else is kind of added to make it an entire event.
Well, that's exactly right, and like I said, you know, this fall, we have six home games scheduled, and every one of those could be a really exciting football game. We've got some of the best teams in a conference, most of the best teams in a conference coming here, with Pittsburgh State coming here for homecoming, and I think that's going to be a great game. And of course, we have Missouri Western; that's always a huge game, and we have both those at home, so it's exciting. And we have the Mules coming in early, so what more can you ask for?
One of the importance I think of athletic events like the football program or basketball or anything is that it's kind of considered a door to campus, where it's maybe the first exposure that either someone in the community or students have when they come onto the Northwest campus.
Well, it's really true, and I know a lot of our other coaches, use those times as recruiting times. Michael said that, you know, he's had some of the signees that he had came here on a football game, you know, and what a great atmosphere. They feel that campus atmosphere, and, we're going to do that this spring. This Saturday, we have kind of a showcase, spring sports showcase. We have tennis on campus. The men and women's tennis team are playing Lindenwood. Baseball's got a doubleheader now. We changed that schedule around, but they're playing a doubleheader on Saturday against Missouri Southern, and softball's got a doubleheader against Fort Hays. So we've got a lot going on, and we're going to try and get the students out for those events as well.
You talk about atmosphere. Obviously, around the games themselves, it's oftentimes going to be good, but do you find when athletic teams are successful that positive atmosphere carries over even during the week when there aren't games going on throughout campus? Does it just bring up that atmosphere as far as the campus goes?
I think there's definitely a correlation to that. There's no doubt, in high school, I know a lot of principals have told me if we can have a great football year, we're going to have a great year in school, because it just carries through. And I think there's a lot of that on our campus, especially because we're a close-knit campus. Our people on campus care about each other. Our faculty are very involved with our students, and it's a friendly atmosphere, so I really think that does make a difference.
And again, I think that helps, going back to what we talked to a little bit earlier with the coaches and how they get along so well, that winning does tend to help bring people together there.
Well, it does, and I think all of those things, you put all those things together and it creates a real positive atmosphere for our whole student body and for everybody involved, and that's what we want to accomplish. And that makes it a lot of fun.
Are there talks and things as we go a little bit beyond campus with conference and just different things that might come up, changes that have to happen? What's kind of the schedule through the year on when you guys get together and have discussions about what's going to happen with the MIAA?
Well, we have a spring meeting. Call it spring meeting. It'll be right after school's out in June, early June, and we'll get together for a couple of days and kind of look at the things that opportunities that we have and the challenges we have in the year coming forward. Then we again have another meeting in the fall, late fall, where we kind of do the same thing. A lot of it goes through Dr. Bob, through the conference commissioner. We've had, with the football schedule, we had a number of conference calls trying to figure that thing out when we made the switch with Baptist and Lincoln, going off. So there's constantly things going on, within the conference, and I think everybody in the conference and obviously Dr. Bob as our commissioner, looking at things that we can do to make our conference better.
Dr. Bob has to be feeling pretty good right now after, of course, Northwest winning the football championship in Division II, Central Missouri coming up as the Division II basketball champs on the men's side. Not a bad year for them, IAA.
No, as a matter of fact, I read, and I know you guys read that too, this is the first time ever in Division II that the same conference has won football championship and the men's basketball championship. And, you know, in my mind, it could have just well been the same school to win both of them this fall. As good as our basketball team played down the stretch. And, you know, so we're really proud of that.
It's nice because I know we've always felt like Northwest plays in the best conference in the nation, but that little proof is sometimes kind of cool.
Well, it is. And I don't think there's, you know, there's a lot of very good conferences in Division II, but when you take the overall balance, I think that's the thing that I see in our conference is that you just don't have an easy week. I mean, you look at our baseball right now. You know, we've got good baseball in our conference, and the best record I think is Central Missouri with 5 losses, and then third place is down to, you know, like 10 losses. So there's a lot of parity in the conference, a lot of good teams, and the same in so many of our other sports.
Yeah, and again, as you talked about spring sports, again, a big weekend coming up this weekend, urging a lot of people to get out and just see what is taking place with spring sports, softball, baseball, and tennis and things like that. It's a fun opportunity to get out and be able to sample a lot of things in one day.
Well, it really is. I think Saturday will be a great day. It's supposed to be good weather, you know, upper 50s and not a lot of wind, I just heard as I was coming in. And, you know, on Sunday it's supposed to be in the 60s. And so there's going to be some opportunities to see. And our spring sport teams are playing well. You know, baseball's playing well, and they're right in the middle of that group that's a couple of games out of first place. And softball had a great weekend last weekend. They won two doubleheaders. The second game of both doubleheaders, they won with walk-off home run. Our first baseman hit a walk-off homer in both games, and so that's a pretty good weekend. And you know, Coach Rosewell's tennis team is in the men's team is very dominant again this year, and the women's team is playing well. So we've got a lot going on. Track is going to be out of town. They're going to be at Emporia, but they've had some good performances ready. So you know, things are moving.
All right. Well, Mel, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks a lot, John and Matt. Appreciate it.
All right. That's the athletic director at Northwest Missouri State, Mel Churchbaugh, on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. When we come back, we'll continue to talk spring sports as we'll be joined by Darren Lowley, coach of the Bearcat baseball team, and we'll talk about their season up to this point. That's coming up after this timeout on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, broadcast live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for today's game comes from Taco John's at 1015 South Main in Maryville. Serving breakfast and dinner, Taco John's is open Sunday through Thursday from 7 a.m. until midnight and until 2 a.m. Friday and Saturday. More at tacojohns.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bolin Auto and Truck Parts. Services include brake and suspension work as well as a driveline facility. Bolin Auto and Truck Parts, located at 10th and Mitchell in St. Joseph. Family owned since 1951. More at 800-292-6546.
Today's Bearcat Radio broadcast is sponsored by Hy-Vee in Maryville. Hy-Vee supplies tailgaters across the Bearcat Nation with their line of Deluso sliced meats, cheeses, salads, and sandwiches. More in-store at Maryville Hy-Vee at 1217 South Main.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is underwritten by Edward Jones Financial Advisor J.R. Kurz, offering retirement and investment advice on the Maryville Square at 119 East 4th Street. More information is available at 660-582-7196. Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center and the Prenery House. More information at conceptionabbey.org.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by St. Francis Hospital and Health Services at 2016 South Main in Maryville. St. Francis services include emergency care, surgery, mammography, and obstetrics. More information is available at stfrancismaryville.com.
And we're back at Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV KRNW, turning our attention to Northwest Missouri State Baseball and head coach Darren Lowe joining us. Coach, you look at the MIAA standings right now in baseball, and you guys are right in the middle of what seems to be a heck of a race. Of course, you can say that. It looks like about 7-8 teams right now, but it's been a real interesting year in the MIAA for baseball.
Yeah, it really has. You know, it's as Coach T was saying, there's so much parity in this league, and if you're off your game just a little bit on any given weekend, you know, you're putting yourself in a situation you're going to get beat. So I thought we played really well early, got some key wins early. We swept Missouri Western, went 2-2 with Kearney. We swept Lincoln. Um, the last 3 weeks, we just haven't been quite sharp. Had some illness go through the team and kind of getting some guys back, had a couple injuries. So, we're in a good situation right now. I think we're in a good spot. Now it's just going out and having a good April. And, the teams that get hot here in the month of April are going to be the ones that, continue playing and getting into the conference tournament and doing well. So that's our goal and that's our hope.
When you look at the conference as a whole, is it a strong pitching league, strong hitting league? Is there, can you kind of look and narrow it down, something like that?
I think it's just it's really just momentum. It's whoever's playing well at any given time is going to get the wins on the weekend. And I think different teams match up differently with other teams. There's some teams that have more power pitching than other teams, and then you have some other guys that are more of a crafty breaking ball type pitching staff, and those guys match up and affect the hitters a little bit differently. So nobody's really running away with this thing, and anybody's beatable, but at the same rate, anybody can beat you if you don't do your job. So again, it's time to sharpen up and get on a roll and get hot in this month.
Offensively, when you look at you guys statistically, you've got several players hitting over 300. Where have some of the strengths been for your team offensively so far?
Well, right now, Eric McLaughlin, he had a couple home runs over the weekend. He's our four-hole hitter. DH is limited a little bit because of an arm injury, so we can only DH him. So he's kind of has anchored that offensive lineup. John Pomato has had a good year playing right field. He's also doing some pitching for us coming out of the bullpen. Ryan Abernathy is a guy that's really, I think, starting to come around again. He's still hitting about 300, but he's been a 400 hitter for his entire career. So we need Ryan to get hot and back where he's at. Brandon Husky, our senior shortstop, he's kind of he's our workhorse. He plays defense in the middle and has done a great job playing defense. But again, he's another one of those guys who was hitting about 400 early and had an illness and we missed him for a couple of weeks, and now he's just coming back to strength and coming back to health. So those senior hitters right there, those four guys have really done a nice job for us.
You guys are 39 games into the season, obviously still a lot left on the schedule. Is this kind of a critical time of year in terms of making sure not only guys stay healthy, but they stay focused? Because that's a long period of time to try to make sure that they stay on their A game, each and every weekend.
Yeah, it's a grind. Today we just had a light day, open cages. Guys could come in and take swings if they wanted to. They could stay home and relax if they wanted to, or catch up on their studies. And I think those days are just as important as a really good practice day. Just because it is a grind, both mentally and physically. And you take a look at a spring sport. Football gets to roll right in and practice for 2 weeks and start playing ball games. Where the baseball guys and softball, we're working hard for 6 months. To hope to get the snow off the ground and dry up enough to play some ball games. So, the overall year is kind of a mental grind. So, we try to reward those guys with some days off, with some mental health days, what we call them, and maintain a little bit so they can, when the weather warms up and straightens out, then they can have a good month of April.
On the mound this year, who have been some of the guys that have really stepped up for you there?
Riker Fox has been our number one for 2 years now. He's a left-hand pitcher. I think he's sitting 5-2 right now. We tried to bring him out of the bullpen a little bit at Hayes, and he pitched well, but that wore him out a little bit for Washburn. But he's our number one guy. Has really been throwing the ball well. He's a senior. Austin Warren is another senior that's really been throwing well for us. We'll start a freshman this weekend in our four spot, Nico Pablo. Nico's looks like he's in about fifth grade, but he can really pitch the ball. So he's a good arm for us, and we're going to move him into a starting role. Blaine Ryder's come out of the bullpen, another senior left-hander that's done a nice job for us. So, both sides of the ball, both pitching and hitting, we got to sharpen up a little bit, get on the right track and get on a roll.
talk a little bit about pitching in college baseball and how you use pitchers. Obviously, when you look at the major leagues, it's fairly cut and dry. You've got your starters, you got some middle relievers, you got setup men, you got closers. How do you guys work it with your pitching staff in terms of the schedule, who's going to start, when they may come out of the bullpen, that sort of thing?
Well, it's a little bit, easier, but... it's a little bit more cut and dried now when we're playing four conference games on the weekend. So we know we're going to need four starters on the weekend. So we'll identify those four guys early in the week. Then we prepare everybody else for the first day of the weekend series. And obviously if we're ahead or in a tight ball game, we're going to bring our best arm possible coming out of the bullpen. If you have a big lead or you're behind a little bit, you'll bring out another guy and maybe hold back a little bit better arm. So it's you always want to have the best arm possible on the mound that you possibly can, I think that's where the last 3 weeks we just haven't been sharp on the mound, and that carries over a little bit to our offensive unit. So the goal is getting some of those guys back and get them in the right direction. But it goes back to at any given time we want our best arm on the mound.
How many of your pitchers could both potentially start and be relievers? Are all of them, should all of them be ready for a role like that, or do you have some set spots?
Well, I think when you take a look at who your four top starters are going to be, they usually have another pitch. Most of our guys coming out of the bullpen, we ask them to have two pitches, a fastball and something else. So, a guy can get through one time through the lineup with just a fastball or changeup or a fastball and a breaking ball. But our four starters probably have that third pitch. They all throw fastball, curveballs, changeup, maybe a slider. So they just have more to offer, so they can go two, three, maybe four times through the order in a start. So those are generally who we pick to be our starters, kind of the guys with the best stuff in a third pitch, and then guys that just have the ability to do that, have that stamina that can go six, seven innings, and some guys just can't do that. Then you also look at your relievers, who can bounce back and who can throw multiple days on a weekend. And we got a couple guys. Blaine Ryder, we just talked about, is a guy that can he can come out and throw two innings every day, and that's a valuable asset to have coming out of your bullpen.
I know a lot of times information on the opponent is a big key. What's that preparation like with baseball in terms of where can you guys get information? What do you use in trying to prepare for that weekend series?
Well, going into any weekend, the first thing we do is we get on the internet and you can find out a lot of things by watching, getting on the opponent's website and seeing where they hit the ball. We do all of our scouting charts off of basically the game reports online. So we kind of have spray charts developed for those things. And that's more of a defensive positioning type tool for us. As far as scouting reports, we're going to know who their best hitter is, who's stealing bases, who can bunt and who can do those types of things. But the biggest thing that we do for our pitchers is we don't necessarily scout the opponent and to try to find our opponent's weakness per se, but we really want to pitch to our pitcher's strengths, kind of a converse way of thinking a little bit. But if we know a guy can't hit a curveball, but if our pitcher doesn't have a curveball, it's really ineffective to be throwing that pitch. So we want to pitch to our pitcher's strengths, whether whoever that they're facing, and of course knowing that you don't want to get beat with the opponent's best hitter, and you got to control the running game with the guys that run and those types of things.
Look at the schedule coming up for you guys. In terms of location, there's a lot of bold green on that schedule, meaning games in Maryville. I'm sure that's something that you guys are really looking forward to here over the course of April.
Yeah, no question. Our schedule's really been a good one this year. Just with our weather being the way it's been, we lost on our Missouri Western weekend, having to go down down there and play early, but being so backloaded with home games and, you know, and theoretically our nicest weather of the year, it is really exciting to come back home and play three of our last four conference series at home. So we're excited to get back home, and you know, we're excited for the weather to get nice and you know, get on a roll and get some wins.
And does it help having all the teams, like we said, in a logjam there in the conference standings? Is that something that can help the team in terms of trying to stay focused, knowing that they've got something to play for right now?
Oh yeah, no question. You know, we're in a good spot right now, and as Missouri Southern is, you know, they're I think right above us in the standings. You watch that standings board in baseball, and it jumps around so much over the course of the weekend. And you know, Missouri Southern wasn't playing very well until they went down and took all four games against Southwest Baptist, a real good team. So, you know, it just, again, any given week, it's if you can come out of this and win a series or, you know, get a sweep, it's a huge weekend. And again, it comes down to who's hot, playing hot at the right time.
Well, it's been a fun season so far. Good luck with those last four series and all those home games here this month.
All right. Thanks, Matt.
That is Darren Lowe. He's the head baseball coach at Northwest Missouri State. And again, this weekend, they will be at home against Missouri Southern both Saturday and Sunday, with a pair of games both days. We'll be back with more here at Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville as we continue to talk spring sports. When we come back, we'll turn our attention to softball with head coach Ryan Anderson when we come back on the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV, KRNW.
Today's game is brought to you in part by Twaddle Realty in Maryville. As a United Country Realtor, Brian Twaddle provides real estate services for residential, farm, and commercial properties at 562-7562 or MarylandMoRealEstate.net.
This Bearcat broadcast is being underwritten by Championship Motors in Maryville, located at 1528 South Main Street. Bill McCulley and his team offer a variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. More at ChampionshipMotorsLLC.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for the Bearcats is provided by East Hill Shopping Center at Frederick Boulevard and Belt Highway in St. Joseph. At 45 minutes from Maryville, East Hills offers new restaurants, including Five Guys, Panchero's Mexican Grill, and Golden Corral. More at shopeasthills.com.
Bearcat radio broadcasts are brought to you by the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information available at northwestbearcats.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Maryville Glass and Lock, offering 24-hour emergency service, locksmithing, auto glass, rock chip repair, storefronts, and entrances. More at 582-3131, in-store at 5th and Buchanan, or at MarylandGlassAndLock.com.
Support for today's game comes in part from McDonald's in Maryville. McDonald's is open 24 hours every day and now serves a limited breakfast menu beginning at midnight. McDonald's, located at the intersection of South Avenue and South Main Street in Maryville.
Welcome back to the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV KRNW. And before we talk with Ryan Anderson, the head coach of the Northwest softball team, a reminder that we have a number of giveaways tonight, as we do from week to week here on the Coaches Show. And if you look at your tables here at Carson's, on the top of the cartons that have the ketchup and mustard, there should be a number attached to that. And if you have a number at your table, come over and see Chris over here to our left. He's got some prizes that he will be handing out here. So check your table, and you could be a winner here on the Bearcat Coaches Show. And again, we're talking softball now with Ryan Anderson, the head coach of the Northwest softball team. And Ryan, team coming in with the 14-18 record right now, but a heck of a weekend this past weekend, as we'll talk first about that and then kind of go into a doubleheader yesterday in Kirksville. But a doubleheader sweep over Pittsburgh State and Missouri Southern, and winning in some exciting fashion this past weekend.
Yeah, there were four very good games for us. We played Missouri Southern the second day, Pitt State the first day. Pitt State's a very good hitting team. They just pound the ball. We got out early in both games. We let them back in the games. They came back. Second game, tied it up. Took the lead. We took the lead on a grand slam. They tied it up in the top of the seventh. Then we hit a walk-off to win the game. So, big first day there. Second day against Missouri Southern. Pitchers just dominated. Abby threw a two-hitter the first game. Second game, I think Sarah threw a one-hitter, eight innings. You couldn't ask for better pitching performance that day.
What's been the biggest difference right now with the way the team's playing as opposed to when they started the season?
I think they're just more comfortable. We have nine freshmen out of, I think 16 players, so we're a very young team. Nine freshmen plus two transfers, so, most of the team wasn't even here last year. So we're still trying to gel. We're still trying to come together. The pitchers are feeling more comfortable now pitching, and the freshmen are getting more experience. So, that's only helping us right now.
Hey, how fun is it to watch the freshmen grow as the season's gone on?
Those first few weeks, they have bugs. They try to shake them out. The more and more bats you can get them, the more it helps. Then you get into conference play and they start to realize, okay, you play double headers now, you're out of tournaments. These games are for real, and you have to keep playing. So, they're used to the short fall high school seasons of 20 games to 25 games, and now that's not even half of our season. So, they're learning a lot, and the good thing is we're expecting a lot from them.
Yeah, does it help to be able to get into a little bit of a routine? You mentioned now you're into the conference season where you're playing doubleheaders at set times, providing that the weather cooperates. Does it help to get into that routine now?
Oh, I think so. Going to this weekend, we play 12-2 on Saturday, 12-2 on Sunday. It's not show up for a Friday game. Saturday you play at 10 o'clock, then 3 o'clock, then Sunday at 1 and 4. And, it's 12-2, and you show up and play. It's definitely showing. It's helping them.
How nice is it to be able to get some home games now, too?
It's different. It's nice not to have snow on the field, but it's different to get to play at home.
And hopefully the weather will keep cooperating. Again, we talked about the sweeps over Missouri Southern and Pittsburgh State this past weekend. You had a trip, I believe, yesterday to Kirksville to face Truman State or the day before. And again, against a very good Truman State team, not a part of the NIAA now, but 25th ranked in the nation coming into that doubleheader. And just kind of talk about the way things went in that.
Truman was a very good team. I think they graduated one player last year, and they had both of their pitchers back. They were probably the best back-to-back pitchers we faced this year. They had very good movement, and it wasn't the movement that our freshmen were used to. And you could see that, they hadn't been exposed to that, and it was, it was exposed with our freshmen. The first pitcher had a very good drop ball. Second pitcher had a very good rise ball, and we had some kids that chased bad pitches, but, that's what those pitchers were trying to do. On the flip side, our pitchers still threw well. I think Abby gave up one hit or one long hit that was the difference in the game. Second game, we make a couple errors, and it should have been a 1-1 game going to the seventh inning, but it ends up being a 4-1 game instead. So, we had our chances to hit, and, they outplayed us.
At this point in the season, when you're 14-18, you feel pretty good about that record when you consider the number of young players that you've been talking about?
Yeah, for the most part, the start of the year, I thought pitching would be a little bit stronger. We came out, struggled a little bit. We had some sore arms, and it hurt us early. The pitching is kind of catching up now. We just have to keep the bats going with it.
And when you look at the schedule this weekend, again, the spring sports showcase on campus, you're playing a large part in that with doubleheaders this weekend, Fort A State, and then you've got Nebraska Kearney coming into town on Saturday and Sunday, I believe. Let's just talk about the matchups you got this weekend and what you're looking for these doubleheaders.
Fort State early in the year was, I think, a top 15 team. They got knocked down a little bit. They're receiving votes now. They were a 1-1 away from going to the national tournament last year, so they're still a very good team. Nebraska Kearney is kind of that scrappy team that if you leave them in the game, they'll beat you. And so they have hitters similar to Pitt State that they just go up there swinging. If they make contact, it's going out. But they come to compete.
And after that, you're still home next week. You've got a big matchup with a nearby rival, Missouri Western, coming to town.
Yeah, Missouri Western. We split with them early in the year, and I think they were ranked at the time, and they probably are receiving votes now as well. They're a good team. They have one of the top pitchers in the conference. We have to show up for those games. They're a tough team. They have they're solid all the way around.
All right. Well, Ryan, thanks a lot for being with us, and good luck on your team the rest of the season.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
And that's Ryan Anderson, the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State softball team. We'll come back and we'll wrap things up and talk football as we'll be joined by the head football coach at Northwest Missouri State, Adam Dorrell. The spring practice is underway and they've got the spring game coming up in a little bit over a week. We'll talk that coming up after this timeout on the Bearcat Coaches Show. Broadcast live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Vaquero & Herzog, REMAX First Choice Real Estate of Liberty, Missouri, specializing in residential and commercial property in North Kansas City. More information is available at 816-806-7777.
Today's game is being underwritten by Compass Dental Group in Maryville. Doctors Bruce Twaddle and Brian Viertaler, along with their wives Polly and Rebecca, provide braces, implants, same-day crowns, and general dentistry. More at CompassDentalGroup.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Shelter Insurance, providing auto, home, life, business insurance, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance protection reviews. More information is available from Shelter agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, and Kent Peterson of Stanbury.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Walker Body Shop and Towing at 420 North Market Street in Maryville. Celebrating their 50th anniversary, Walker's provides complete collision repair and 24-hour towing for cars and trucks. 660-582-3104.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Dion and Judy Roush at Bearcat Lanes and Lounge in Maryville. Bearcat Lanes offers open bowling sessions daily, league bowling, lane rentals for private events, as well as programs for kids. More online at BearcatLanes.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes in part from A&G Restaurant at 208 North Main in Maryville. A&G provides a sit-down menu, banquet rooms, and catering. More information available at 660-582-4421 or online at agrestaurant.com.
And welcome back to the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV KRNW as we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Mary. We've been talking spring sports today, and I guess we got a spring sport right now too with the Northwest football team as they've got their spring game coming up and spring practice already underway.
You know, it's interesting, and AD, maybe you can speak to this, but spring football has kind of become a season sport in itself. I know it has been for a football team, but even from a fan's perspective, spring football has gotten a lot bigger over the course of the last decade or so.
Yeah, I don't. You guys are being pretty optimistic using the word spring. I just talked to Coach Lowe. We always walk through there, and it's this time of year, like, come on, warm weather. No, it's going really good, and you're right. You know, it just keeps going. It never ends, and I got a lot of friends that coach high school football, obviously, and that's one of the things they always are very envious of us about. They're like, you know, man, this time of year, those high school guys are really chomping at the bit to get out there with the kids, and obviously they can't unless you're, you know, in Texas or Oklahoma. But yeah, it's really good because it gets the kids back in the flow. You get a chance to spend a lot of time with your kids. January, December when you get back, and January, February, I don't really see our kids at all, you know, because we're recruiting. And then late February, kind of get back and get going with them. But I always enjoy it because I just get a chance to be around the kids. And that's obviously one of the best parts of our job is when you're around youth. That's always energetic and happy. It makes you feel good.
Now, when you talk about the weather, I kind of thought like you kind of had the magic touch when you opened up spring drills, because all of a sudden the weather cleared, and for the first week or two of your practice, you couldn't ask for better
weather. No, it was good. You know, it was good the first couple weeks, and it's kind of like you come back from spring break, and it hasn't been that bad. I just, you know, feel bad for baseball and softball and our kids and coaches. I know they're chomping at the bit to get some nice days, and they're not swinging aluminum bats when it's 40 degrees out.
Do you find the timing of spring ball for the players that they've gotten to a point where they had enough time off, they just want to be back on the field, and they have that energy?
Yeah, I think so. You know, they like lifting weights and doing all that stuff. Of course, Joe Quinlan wears on them in the month of February. He gets after them pretty good. So, yeah, they get excited to get back out. And just the neat thing is when you're in a program like ours where you register so many kids, you know, you take about 35 kids last year that did nothing other than, you know, get beat up on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday by the varsity guys. And so to watch those kids in the spring, those are the kids that are just eyes on you, trying to soak up as much knowledge as they can. They're the guys that are just, you know, they go just full tilt, and you almost have to, hey, you know, back off a little bit because they're so hungry, you know. They go, you go from high school, your senior year, where you're top guy in the totem pole, to bam, now you're, you know, you're non-existent, nobody really knows you, and so they're really fighting to get on the bus and make that travel party, and so it's really fun to watch those guys right now. That's the best part about going into meetings. It's, you know, all the red shirts are sitting up front and just real eager to learn and try to take it out there on the field.
When you look at your practices up to this point, what's been the things you like most about what you've seen out of your team?
Well, I just think we're going to be really good on defense again. I just feel real strongly about our defense. You know, the common question I've gotten, obviously, is the Dixon brothers are gone, but I've been really pleased with our secondary play. I feel like we've got some young men there, Tyshawn, Alleen, just a lot of guys stepping up and doing some good things in the secondary. I feel like our D-line's going to be pretty good and be able to get pass rush without us having to blitz a lot of guys. And then I just feel real good about our linebacking core. Of course, you got Reimer and DJ, but guys like Brock Sherman, Jacob Volstadt, guys like that. Jayron Robinson's back, and he's having a really good spring. And I just really feel like we're going to be a really defensive-oriented football team again. Been watching our punter and kicker, you know. We've got those two kids back, and we've been spending a lot of time with them. I think we're going to be really good on special teams again. And then, you know, offensively, we got a good core back. And, you know, I'd like to see us complete a few more passes than we are right now, but I think a lot of that has to do with our defense. Those have been some of the things that really stick out to my head. But effort's been great. Attitude's been great. And guys just coming out there ready to go.
I've always wondered that, especially in scrimmages. You know, you look at the offense played great, but maybe that meant the defense didn't play so great or something. You know, when you've got players from your own team going after each other, how do you guys approach that and watch that to make sure you're getting out of it as coaches what you want?
Well, I think our staff does a really good job because I've worked at other places, and sometimes people get so caught up with the end result of a day of spring, like, oh, we completed 20 passes, or we only completed 5 passes, or we did this. I think our staff does a really good job of being good teachers, and what we're really looking for is kids' fundamentals in spring. You know, if I go in and I watch my second string right tackle having to be going against Matt Longacre, and he physically gets beat, well, you know, he should get beat. I've been kidding Longacre, calling him Mr. Universe, Defensive Player of the Universe. But if I see that second string kid take a good position step, good power step, shoot his hands, and he's going to the right guy and then he gets beat, you know, I'm really looking for technique right now, and that guys know where they're supposed to be going. And if they get beat fundamentally or physically, I guess physically I should say, then, you know, I'm okay. I don't want to say I'm okay with it, but You're progressing forward, and that's the big thing. Our coaching staff does a good job of being teachers. You want to see the kids move forward. You want to see them not making the same mistake that they made on Monday or Tuesday, and just to keep moving forward and get a little bit better each day. And that's how we try to quantify it a little bit.
And we're talking with the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State football team, Adam Dorrell. We'll come back and talk more with AD about the spring game that's coming up here in another week. That's coming up as the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV KRNW continues after this timeout from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Today's Bearcat Radio broadcast is sponsored by Hy-Vee. Located at 1217 South Main, Hy-Vee offers groceries, delicatessen, salad bar, gas, a bakery, floral shop, and pharmacy. More information is available in-store or at 660-582-2191. Today's game is brought to you by Maryville State Farm Insurance agents Carrie Myers and Kevin Neal, providing insurance and financial services at 121 West Lincoln and behind Applebee's at 305 Larry Lane, 562-3882 or 582-3512.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Schreck Auto in Maryville. Lou Schreck and his team provide automotive care from tune-ups to oil changes to brakes and major repairs. More at 562-4884 or in shop at 125 East South Avenue in Maryville.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for today's game comes from Pizza Hut in Maryville. Pizza Hut offers a daily lunch buffet from 11:30 to 1 and Tuesday nights from 5:30 to 7. Dine-in, carry-out, or delivery is available. More online at pizzahut.com or in-store at 732 South Main in Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery. Now located near the Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville, the Student Body provides Bearcat fanware, custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Welcome back to the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV KRNW. Along with Matt Quarter, I'm John Coffey, and we're talking with the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State football team, Adam Dorrell. And AD coming up not this Saturday, but Saturday after that on the 12th, big time with the annual spring game. And that's really turned into a fun event that the coaching staff and the players have put together.
Yeah, it is, John. 2 years ago, Scott Nielsen and Steve Sutton kind of started this, what we call the Gridiron Chapter. And it's former football player alums. And they did a really good job of putting this thing together. These guys started it, and they're doing it now. They run it. It's called the Red Hat Classic, where we get a bunch of these guys coming back to honor Scott. And we play a kind of a goofy nine-hole golf tournament, three club, and no carts. You have to walk, so it's a pretty good time. So we've had really good turnout. I think there was around 65 of those guys last year, and that just makes it a lot more fun when you get guys back for it. We've tried to make it kind of a festive deal, but in the years past, we've gone golf tournament, and then, you know, kind of later in the evening, the spring game. This year, there's a country and western concert on campus Saturday, so we have to be out of the building by 1:30, so we're going to kick off at 11 a.m., and then we're going to go do the golf tournament after. But, you know, we're just excited. I get a chance to see a lot of guys I played with to get a chance to come back, and most of them stay the night, so it's a good time just to catch up and hang out.
I'm figuring some of those guys, I'm seeing them trying to figure out a way to sneak a golf cart, because there's some of those guys I can't see walking nine holes a golf.
Yeah, Steve Cobbler. Andy or Pelding.
I wouldn't get a name but they're on the list.
I will. Coppinger tries to tell you he's 285, and I don't see it. So. No, but it's a good time, and it's free admission. We're going to do, you know, I got to finish up with Nate and Marshall and Scott and Mel, but I think they're going to do a kind of a promo for kids and stuff before the game. It'll kind of be early, but maybe around 10 o'clock, I think, where we're going to have an autograph session, come down and meet the new seniors, and, you know, if you want to come down and play catch and do things of that nature. And then the fun thing a lot of people understand is that Tuesday before, the seniors all get together and we'll draft. And so it's truly going to be a green and white game where, you know, defensive guys and offensive guys will be together. We'll flip a coin. I mean, we draft everybody. We draft ball boys, the trainers. We draft the strength staff, the athletic support staff. And so I tell them, you know, you need to be in your green and white accordingly. So our kids are really excited about it.
It really seems like it's a fun way to end the spring drills. But when you try to evaluate what takes place in that spring game, what are some things you're really looking for out of the team?
Well, we try to have a lot of fun with it, number one. But we kind of leading into it, we'll get serious about it, really talk to the kids about what we're looking for. And, you know, we grade everything. And so on a normal day, you'll grade and turn in your sheet based on your kids. We always look at scrimmages like they're a game. And so, quite honestly, if, you know, you turn those lights on and you get MIAA officials there and you see a kid do some really good things, you think he's going to be able to do it on Saturday. He's not going to get caught up in the moment. And, you know, what you don't want to see is a kid get caught in that moment where he's making a lot of mental mistakes and things of that nature. So you really want to try to make it as realistic and as close to a game as possible.
You were talking earlier during practices, you're looking at more of the fundamental stuff. Is it kind of the same in the spring game where you're looking at that inside type of stuff, or is there more end result concerns?
Yeah, more end result. You're looking for production in those scrimmages and offensively and defensively. You want to see guys transition. You want to see you getting your special teams in and out of there without, you know, having to burn timeouts and things of that nature.
And it's a big weekend for you besides just the spring game. I know that Friday before, the Kansas City Sports Commission will be honoring you that Friday night down in Kansas City.
Yeah, it's. I'm pretty excited about that, John. I think I was very honored that, you know, they gave that award to our staff. And it's just, it's a neat deal. That's a big deal, and there's been a lot of really good coaches that have won that award. And so to be, you know, in there with that group. I think it's a pretty neat deal. I was very humbled by it, very appreciative, and I'm excited about it. You know, a lot of my family lives in Kansas City, and they're going to be there for the event, so looking forward to it.
It's kind of like when you mentioned the staff, it's similar to when we talk about all-conference awards, all-American awards for players. The better the team is, the more likely, you know, some individual awards are to come out.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I tell people all the time I'm not a very good coach, but we're good recruiters, so we get a lot of good kids around us, and they make us look good as coaches. But, yeah, it's, you know, it's one of those deals. I'm blessed because I've got a great staff I get a chance to work with every day, very hardworking. They're good teachers, and one of our big selling points in recruiting is, you know, you're going to learn more than just football at Northwest. That's the Division II model. We're proud of that. We don't try to hide behind that. But what our kids are doing in the classroom right now and what we're doing on the football field, obviously, I mean, everybody sees the football field. I always try to take opportunities when I'm public speaking, you know, to tell people we had 75 kids with a 3.0 or better. Last semester we had 11 kids with a 4.0, 2.9 GPA, and we have the highest graduation rate again in the MIAA. And so those are a lot of things people don't know about us. And so I just think that speaks volume about the type of kid we have here, and we've got great, great kids.
All right, well, AD, it's good to have you with us on the program again, and it looks like it's going to be a fun way to wrap up the spring season here in the next week or so.
Absolutely, John. One more thing real fast. Tomorrow we are scrimmaging, too, and we're going to kick off at about 4:10. If anybody wants to come on out. So.
All right, sounds good.
Okay.
Again, that's Adam Dorr, the head of football coach at Northwest Missouri State University. Stay tuned. We'll be back and wrap up our coaches show right after this timeout on KXCV KRNW.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from national investors in Redfield, Iowa, and Northwest alumni R. Joe Smith and Greg Wilson, providing asset protection, retirement planning, estate organization, and insurance options. More at nationalinvestors.com.
Support for today's game comes from Bram Danfelt Funeral Home in Maryville at 206 East South Hills Drive. Director Jeff Bram provides families